We believe that we are saved by grace, that it's a gift, that it not only has nothing to do with our works, but it's actually in spite of who we are. And if you believe that you are given access to God because of what somebody else did for you, because you had no business being in there, but because Jesus Christ has given his life for you, because Jesus has lived the perfect life that you could never live, then that must foster in us a humble boldness. What is a humble boldness even look like? Well, I thought of a few things. I think that when we understand this, we will be bold enough to speak about the gospel. We will be bold enough to tell people about Jesus. But you know what else we'll be? We'll be humble enough to listen to them and learn from them. We're bold. We believe the truth. We stand firm on the word of God. We stand firm on the gospel. But we also know that we were in their place at one time. And who are we not to be humble enough to listen and to learn from others? And so the gospel gives us a humble boldness. We will speak, but friends, guys, we got to be able to listen. So often, I think Christians, the ones who have boldness, bold Christians, they're ready. They're ready to pounce on you and trounce whatever it may be, but they're not ready to listen. What about this? I think it also means that we will be bold enough to attempt great things for God, but humble enough to ask for help in it. There's a boldness and a humility. And this touches on the first one, but we will be bold enough to stand firm on your convictions. Convictions based on the word of God. But we must also be humble enough to know that there are certain things that we don't understand. And certain areas in our own thinking where we are wrong. Now, I'm not talking about core gospel truths. These are the truths we stand on. But do you see, because we have been granted access by the work of Jesus, we have been given boldness and confidence, it can't just be a boldness that plows over people. Because that's not the way that Jesus did it. Jesus cried out to people, hey, all who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest for your souls. And we are called to have the light of Jesus shine through us so that somebody who's weary should never feel like, I can't go to church. They're just going to lay on me more and more burdens. But let the cry of the gospel ring forth from God's people. Let people hear that Jesus can take away your burdens. That Jesus has come to do for you what you could never do for yourself and to give you true freedom. And so we see that we have been granted boldness and confident access through faith, but it's a humble boldness, isn't it? It's a humble confidence. And that's the way it has to be, because if it wasn't by God's grace, we could have no confidence. All you have to do is think about yourself for a little bit. Know who you are. Inside, right? But here's the deal. Your access, when you walk in, God doesn't look, he doesn't treat you as if it was you yourself. When God treats you, when you're in the presence of God and he looks down, he treats you based on the merit of Jesus Christ himself. That's the good news of the gospel. That we receive Christ's righteousness and that he has paid for our sins on the cross. And this brings us then to our fourth and final point today. God's displaying this wisdom to the world, to the forces of evil, in the church, and he's doing it as his people maintain hope in the midst of great trial and tribulation. Look at verse 13 in Ephesians chapter 3. Paul says, therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory. This may be the aspect of the gospel, I think, that touches my heart more than others, is that we are able to maintain hope in the midst of great trial and tribulation. And there's a reason. It's not simply because, like, Okay, I'm just like, I'm holding on, and this is hard, though I felt like that. You guys ever felt like that? Like, I'm just holding on for dear life. As a matter of fact, I remember a sermon preached by the president of my seminary one time, and he made the point, there are times when you feel like you're not moving forward. Like, the trials of life are just coming at you, and at the end of the day, like, it's all you can do to just weather the storm. And I remember what Steve Fernandez said. He said, at the end of that, all you can do is you can say, I'm still standing, devil. I may not be moving forward, but you haven't engulfed me in those waves. I'm still standing. Now, that's one thing, right? To be like, I'm hanging on here and to persevere in that way. But the gospel tells us more. The gospel tells us that God will absolutely redeem every single one of your trials. I'm going to turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this is the part that Amanda read for us. Now, I'm going to read in verse 16. Now, you notice the same phrase. Paul begins chapter 4, verse 16 in 2 Corinthians this way. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Now, that's exactly what Paul just told the Ephesians. Don't lose heart in my suffering on your account. But notice what Paul says here. We do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Now, listen to verse 17. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. When Paul talks about these afflictions as momentary and light, he is in no way trying to belittle your, my, anybody's afflictions. This is the Paul who was shipwrecked 3 times in his journeys for the gospel. Could have, should have died. He was stoned once by those who hated him, left for dead. 5 times he received 39 lashes on his back. Not only that, this is the Paul who would have watched friend and colleague get put to death for the sake of the gospel, who would have, by all accounts, had his entire family shun him because of his conversion to Christianity. When Paul says that these afflictions are momentary and light, he is doing it in comparison. That's why he says, it's producing for us an eternal weight of glory. What Paul is saying is that these tribulations and these trials that we're in, they're momentary compared to eternity. The suffering that you are facing right now or at any point in your life can only last as long as our time on this earth does. Until we are separated from these bodies and go to be with the Lord, or until Jesus comes back. Now, that can seem like an eternity, especially when you're suffering. It absolutely can. Nobody's making light of that. But here's the good news. Paul says that not only can you get through this, but this suffering is actually producing for you. It's the factory line. These sufferings bring about, produce something that would not otherwise be produced, and this is what Paul says they are, an eternal weight of glory. They're momentary here, they're eternal there. They're light compared to the weightiness of the glory that is to be produced through them. And that word produced is key. What God is doing to you, through you right now, the suffering that you're facing is producing for you an eternal weight of glory that you would not have otherwise. Guys, this is why the gospel is good news. It means that there is not 1 ounce of your suffering that is not redeemed by God to produce immense glory for you. Paul says, far beyond all comparison in the eternal age. Otherwise, what's the alternative? That our suffering and the abject pain that we face in this world is for naught? That's anything outside of the gospel. And though it may encourage people to take steps to see that suffering not happen again, it doesn't change the fact that you're suffering. But what if every pain you ever felt produced glory? What if every tear you ever shed produced glory? What if every hardship you had ever been through produced an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison? What if that was the case? Wouldn't that be good news? Which is why we talk about what Jesus has done as the gospel, as good news. Guys, the way that God is working through us is a display to the forces of wickedness. This world is broken. This world brings pain, but I have hope because of Jesus. And that is God's billboard declaration. He's pointing to the scoreboard that he is winning, that he has won, and that one day Jesus will come back and all of this will be overturned completely. We are to stand as a display of God's wisdom, which means we don't always have to understand. It's not our wisdom, but we trust it. And so that's the question today. Do you trust it? That's why we're here. Guys, that's why we're in Woodstock. We want to trust that. We want to believe that. We want to live in this community and wherever your community may be at home, Marengo, the surrounding areas, McHenry, whatever it is. Believe that, trust that, and then people will see something in you like, what in the world? How are you able to maintain with all that's going on? And then Peter says that we stand ready to give an answer for the hope within us. People hear that, and it's not just what they hear from you. It's what they see in you. And here's the good news. God's grace and power are working in you. He will accomplish his purposes through you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the hope that we have in Christ. God, we pray that you would use us in this way, that we might display your manifold wisdom to the world, to the spiritual forces of darkness. Bring people in your grace and kindness to yourself, that they too can hope and trust in Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.
Of our great God. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice. All the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light. In darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice. Trembles at his voice. How great is our names. You are worthy. great is our God still. In the grave is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. I know you all know this one. Sing this out with me. Then sings my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. How great thou art. Everybody's singing out, and then sings. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Amen. Praise be to God. You may have a seat.
Our benediction this morning is from the 24th and 25th verse in the book of Jude. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week.